Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I am so excited that you have joined me on today, and I just want to give a shout out to all of my friends far and near, those that are around the world and there in Nigeria and all the way into all of the land far and near. I just want you to know I am so excited that you have joined me on today, and we have an awesome, awesome show on today. So I want you to grab your Bibles and come on in and just make yourself right at home. We have a wonderful lesson and an awesome, a beautiful treat on today. I have a very special guest that's going to be joining us on today by the name of Apostle Maude Lewis. And she's going to join us, and we're going to be interviewing her on today. And I'm going to introduce her in just a few minutes here, but we want you to grab your Bibles and let us take a look at, we'll be looking at Matthew's chapter number 20 on today, but I would like to introduce our speaker, and then we'll look at and read our scripture, and then from there we want to interview our speaker on today in regards about our lesson tech on today, and we're going to be talking about laborers in the vineyard. And on today, I have with me Apostle Bishop Maude Lewis. And Apostle Lewis, she was born September the 23rd, 1948, in Houston, Texas. She also attended the Houston Independent School District and graduated from Worthing High School in. And also, Apostle Maude, she received Jesus at the early age at New Pleasant Green Baptist Church in Houston, where she served as the Sunday school teacher and choir director. She later became part of the Emmanuel Apostolic Church under the leadership of District Elder W.E. Gibson and then District Elder Clarence Stewart Jr., where she served as the assistant choir director, the church Sunday school teacher for the junior mission and senior mission, also as the altar ministry for the youth, and as well as the youth leader, and the church radio announcer, and organized the Holy Ghost Crusade Choir. Apostle Maude also in the PAW, the Assemblies, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, she served as the Texas State Sunday School Secretary, and under the direction of District Elder Noel Jones, who is now Bishop Noel Jones, she was the chaplain, as well as Texas State Youth Vice President and Texas State Central District Youth President and the Texas State Youth Executive Board Member. Apostle Maude also served through the Worldwide Pentecostal Deliverance Church of America with Bishop Thompson in Dallas, Texas. In Worldwide, she served over the fivefold ministry as well as the licensing board member and evangelist as well as the Southern Region Director. Apostle is currently assigned to Bishop Thompson at Miracle Temple of Deliverance in Dallas, Texas. In January 2005, Apostle Maude found and was the pastor of Perfecting Faith Ministry. In July 2009, it was changed to No Limit International Ministry. where Apostle is the founder and her daughter, Katina Lewis, is the pastor. Apostle is sometimes referred as the Beamer, Eye and Seer Bishop. In her prophetic ministry, she has evangelized throughout the United States. God had called Apostle Lewis to the end time apostolic anointing as an apostle, and to God be the glory for what he is doing in her life and the vision to come to pass through No Limit International Ministry. Apostle Lewis is the mother of four children, Ericky, Katina, and Melvin Jr., and Jeremiah. She also is the grandmother of six beautiful grandchildren, two granddaughters, and four grandsons, and one great-grandson. Truly, it is a blessing and an honor and a privilege on today to have Apostle Lewis with us on the line today. And I tell you, our church at Shekinah Glory Tabernacle has been extremely, extremely blessed by having this wonderful, gifted woman of God with us. We had opportunity to meet her back in August of 2010, where she came and did a wonderful revival for our women's conference, and we have been just tremendously, tremendously blessed by this great woman of God, and I know you're going to be blessed by her on today. And so I would like to, at this time, just to go ahead and just to read our scripture text in which we're going to be looking at, and then we're just going to ask Apostle Maude Lewis to have some words around this particular text that we're looking at. And that's going to be over in Matthew's chapter number 20, verse 16 down to verse number 28. And the scripture reads on this line, "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and to mock, and to scorn, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her son worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them from whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. And Jesus called them and said unto him and said, Ye know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for ransom, a ransom for many." So far, the reading of the scripture on today, I want to at this time just to say, welcome aboard, Apostle Maude, Apostle Lewis. We thank God for you on today.
Thank you so much, Pastor. It's just an honor to be with you and to be with your audience today, and just to share in this awesome word of God that you've just read for us, to let us know that the last shall be first and the first that shall be last. And the word of the Lord say, many are called, but a few are chosen.
Yes.
And in this hour, we have to understand that God is gathering up his people that he's getting ready to come back for. And that's why we've got to be in a servitude spirit,
yes,
a servitude mindset in this hour, because the thing is that God is not looking for those that he has to pull on and those that he has to continue to encourage over and over again, because it's time for us, of those of us that have been in the Word of God for so many years, the enemy,
yes,
is trying to attack our mindset, trying to attack our focus, and trying to get us to go back and to touch things that God has delivered us out of. And because we're going through our tests and our trials, and because we're going through different processes, because God has set purpose in our lives,
yes,
we have to come to understand what God is really doing in our lives so that we can be true laborers for Christ in this hour. And that's what I believe. When you read the scripture that the last,
yes,
shall be first and the first shall be last, many are called and a few are chosen.
Uh-huh.
I think the one that has been chosen, we're coming to understand what our purpose is, and we're coming to understand that we have to go through the process in order to come into the purpose and the destiny that God has for us in this hour.
Yes, and that is so awesome, Apostle Lewis. I would like to know if you could elaborate a little bit, because I really believe that many times people sometimes get overthrown in that process. And again, could we, one, say clearly that God used that process to bring forth the chosen one? Could you elaborate on that process?
I believe he does. I believe,
yes,
he does,
please.
Pastor. I believe that he does use the process, because the Bible says no man knows the heart but God. God knows what's on the inside of us. He knows what we have allowed the enemy to come in and to rob and to steal us of. And so, therefore, God has to go and he has to present things and bring forth things in our lives to get us into that place, or to push us into the areas of where God has already set for us before the foundation of the world. So I believe that God does use process. I believe that process has to be used even in the natural. We know that gold has to go through a process. We know,
mm-hmm,
that many things, material, has to go through a process. It's not in studying about the color purple. It has to be dyed to that color. So that means it has to go through a process. Many times we'll turn over in the fire. We'll turn over into different situations. And it does not mean that God has left us. It's just that God is trying to get us to that place of where he has already designed for us to go. So, yes, I do. I believe that God uses process. I believe that process is very important for us as laborers in the gospel, so that God will teach us how to serve, teach us how to be fellow yokemen with and fellow workersmen with those that we work with in the ministry, teach us how to submit ourselves to the chosen,
mm-hmm,
will and the purpose of God, teach us how to walk in obedience, teach us how to design our love and how to walk in forgiveness and how to make ourselves in a way that he would have us to be, even about our character.
Yes,
Pastor,
yes.
I believe that,
please,
God takes us through a process in our character, because many of us, we know that we've come through generational situations, and so God has to take us through different processes because things have wounded us and things have hurt us, and so we retaliate to the things of the old, and God has to teach us that that's not the way that he has set it up in his word. It's not an eye for an eye. And many times,
yes,
we hold bitterness. Many times we hold unforgiveness. And so God has to take us through this thing to let us know that unforgiveness is not a request. It's a command. Jesus,
yes,
commanded us to forgive one another. Jesus commanded us to love one another. And so these are things that has to go on the inside, that has to be purified, that has to be cleansed out of us. Nobody knows how to do that but God. Nobody knows how to set the things in the place where it needs to be for us to go through these things to get to the place of where God really has for us to go.
Yes, and thank you, Apostle, because as we begin to even examining the scripture text and what you have said, and things, and looking at the relevancy today and what we're looking at today, mm-hmm. because we have so many people who are saying that they're called, which is, and I believe that God is going to be raising up a
right.
beautiful and a great army and representative for him and leaders in Zion. But mm-hmm. you have hit on something that I really believe is just so relevant for laborers in the vineyard to recognize that you said about character
yes.
and things that God is cultivating our character as well and things as that leader. Now, when you were speaking for us and you were sitting, well, actually you were sitting in the pulpit and God had me to look over at you and things right before you got up to minister. And when I looked over at you, it was the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost just led in my spirit that this woman of God that was sitting before us was a woman of great character and that you have gone through a process in which many women that are moving forward in ministry need to sit even at your feet or even to hear your story as well as your journey, because I've just seen upon you just a special anointing from our Lord and Savior, but the Lord said that that was not a, it was not without a cost, that where you walk in the place of great humility and things. And so if we were had an opportunity, Apostle, if you had an opportunity just to share your wisdom with the world, right now, with women in ministry, what would you share? What would you like to share with them at this particular time? What would be in your heart to say? If I had that audience to speak with those women that are moving forward in ministry and things, what would I share with them now? Could you share something of your wisdom with us?
I would be honored to, Pastor. One of the things that I would love to share with your audience and to the women is that always carry a spirit of submission.
Mm-hmm.
Always carry a spirit of submission. And always realize that leadership is very important and essential to your ministry. And many, many today are still going through a fight of where the struggle is that many of our other ministers does not believe in what God has called us to do. But one thing that I've learned in ministry is that it's not what others say, it's what God has called you to do. But
mm-hmm.
even in the call that God has called you to do, be humble in your spirit. Be submitted in your spirit. Because one thing I do know is that your gift will make room for you. So you don't have to exalt yourself. You don't have to push yourself. You don't have to make yourself grand. All you have to do is just stay in a place of submission. Stay in that place of where you can walk in obedience and you can allow the authority to be over you, where you can move in the places of where God would have you to be. And most of all, keep a praying and a consecrated mind. Keep a praying and a consecrated mind. Stay in the Word of God. And whatever you know that is on the inside of you, that you know that will bring forth a hindrance to your ministry, begin to ask God to purge you, to cleanse you. Because, God, I don't want none of this to be a hindrance to whatever you have called and you have chosen me to be. Character is very important and
yes.
very essential. And many times we cannot do things that we see others do. And so, therefore, we have to watch how we walk. We have to watch how we talk. We even have to watch how we dress, Pastor.
Yes,
because
exactly.
We don't want to be offensive to anybody.
Yes.
You know, in choosing our garments, many people feel that this is really crazy, but I learned this many years ago where the scripture says in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge God, even in your dress code.
Yes.
Acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge God, you know, what do you feel to day? Do you think that this is something that I need to wear, you know, to be an encouragement or to be strengthened to someone? And so we have to make sure that our character is set in order. We have to make sure that we understand and be submissive to authority. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I got the same calling that they have. No, but if God has placed you on authority, be submissive to that. And if you're going through a process and you don't understand what you're going through, just fall on your face and talk to God, and God will give you the strength, and he will give you the encouragement, and he will lead you, and he will construct you, and he will let you know just how to walk through this thing so that your character would not be damaged, you know, so that your ministry would not be hindered. Because many times our ministry is hindered, Pastor, because of our character.
Right.
And because of what we say. And you have to ask God to give you shut mouth grace. You know, many times we open our mouths and we say things and it's so offensive and we don't know how to talk to one another. We don't even know how to encourage one another.
Uh-huh.
But God, teach me. Teach me how to go in and out among my sisters and brothers. Teach me how to talk to them, even in the midst of my pain, even in the midst of my hurt, even in the midst of my misunderstanding. Teach me, oh God. Show me how to administer healing in the midst of my hurt, in the midst of my pain. Teach me how to administer healing. Teach me how to administer grace and mercy. And these are things that we have to understand and always have a servitude spirit.
Yes.
Always. I don't care what your credentials are.
Yes.
When you pass by and you see a piece of paper on the floor, don't walk over it. Pick it up. Put it in the trash can. Always remember that you are representative for Christ.
Yes.
Always remember that. In the grocery stores, in the malls, on the telephone, wherever you are, always remember that we are a representative, and remember that we have to have that same spirit that Jesus Christ had when he was here on the earth. He exemplified perfectionism, and this is what he expects us to do. Maturity, this is what he's looking for us as people of God and as ministers of God and as laborers in the vineyard. He's looking for us to be matured in the things that we come to understand through the word of God of what God is saying. So I say to you today, keep that servitude spirit. Continue to stay under the authority of God. Continue to stay under the authority of leadership, because many of you pastoring, many of you are evangelists, many of you are prophets, many of you are teachers. Many of you are all and working in your own outreach ministry. But even in your own outreach ministry, and you are under authority, remember to respect that authority. Remember to honor that authority. One thing that I learned, Pastor.
Yes, please.
And coming up in ministry is that when I went out to minister, and I pray that this helps somebody.
Yes.
That I always allowed my pastor to know where I was going.
Yes.
Because I always wanted the blessings of my leader to follow me as I went. So I never left. I never did anything without consulting my leader. I'm an authority myself, Pastor.
Yes.
And being here in Washington, my leaders know where I am. So they can pick up the phone. They can text me. They can email me of anything that is going on and anything that they need me to do. And I think that this is one of the things as leaders that we have to understand, that even though God calls us into a place of leadership, but there is still headship that walks over us, and we
have
to learn to be submissive to that headship. And one thing I've learned, Pastor,
is
that I'm here because I followed the instructions of what God taught me through leadership.
Yes.
So I pray that that was a blessing to someone and that it helped someone today. Because one thing I do know is that in walking in this thing, you're going to have your tests, you're going to have your trials, you're going to go through a process. Many times you're going to be wounded. And the people that wound you, Jesus said, where did I get my scars from? It's the household of faith. So you're
yes.
going to go through. You're going to go through your scars. You're going to go through your tears. You're going to go through all of this. But nevertheless, God is taking you somewhere. And in order for you to go there, you just have to surrender yourself and allow God to take you to that place.
And can
God,
we say, Apostle, can, and I, everything you're just saying is just so profound. And just awesome. Now, can we say what you have just said? Now, would that we can consider that as being, even sometimes we think about those scars or we think about those things
mm-hmm.
that we go through, is
mm-hmm.
that when we begin to step back and look at that again, we can see that that's part of the process. Is that
yes,
is that right?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
yes.
Ma'am. That's growth. That's called growth.
Yes.
That's called growth. We are walking in maturity. We are coming into a state of maturity, of understanding that we don't belong to ourselves, but
uh-huh.
someone else has paid the price for us. So, therefore, we have to surrender ourselves to the authority that has paid the price for us. So, yes. Yes, it is. It is a part of the process. It
yeah.
is. The tears and the hurt and the pain
mm-hmm.
and the set aside and the disappointments. Yes, these are parts. These are called growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't feel good, Pastor. They don't feel
right.
good.
Exactly.
They don't. Sometimes they don't even look good on us.
That's
but
true.
If we can know how to walk in those things and give God praise in the midst of it, that's the main thing, is to
right.
give praise in the midst of it. And everything that we go through, the Bible said, in all things, give thanks. And so we give thanks when we're going through. We give thanks when we're
that's
going so through the process. You know, and it's hard. It's hard sometimes to say thank you, Lord, when tears
that's
are rolling down and when your heart is hurt. But at the same time, we know we have to come to understand these are growing pains. And so God is taking me to a place, so I have to allow him to
mm-hmm.
take me into this place.
Mm-hmm. And you said some profound things, and I was able to capture some of those, and I just want to go back and just to highlight
okay.
a few of those things that you had said, and you said about submission, you know,
mm-hmm.
we as laborers in the vineyard, how key submission is,
mm-hmm.
and then you also mentioned about the leadership is very important,
mm-hmm.
Being able to come submissive unto that leadership, even
mm-hmm.
though, you know, we don't understand it all, but, you know, coming up under
right.
that subjection of that leadership, that is a God or thing ordained.
Mm-hmm.
Government
yes,
within the body of Christ.
That's it. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. And you
that's
said God have called us to do what to do and that we must stay humble and think.
Right. That's right.
One of the things that I share with the ministers there at Shekinah is that after you've gone out and minister and after you have gone or even ministered in any capacity, I encourage them, Apostle, to come back and begin to serve in your home church just like you never did anything.
That's it.
And thing.
That's it.
And just like you haven't did anything, even though you may have so many souls and miracles and different things that happened in the meeting in which God
that's
has blessed
it.
Us to minister, but can you elaborate on that piece? Because
yes.
the adversary seems sometimes to lodge in the mind of people after
mm-hmm.
they have flown in that area of ministry and
mm-hmm.
things. And sometimes he fights the children of God or fight that one that is flowing in that area of ministry. But how
mm-hmm.
to come back and bring, like even Paul said, after I preached, he said, I got to keep my body up under
that's
and things.
Right.
And could you elaborate on that individual
yes.
who may be stuck
yes,
between?
When you go out and you minister, many times that I would go out, the Lord would open doors and God would do such awesome, awesome things, supernatural
yes.
things. And when I would come home, I served as over the evangelistic team and the
yes.
what we call altar ministry. And I was right there with altar ministry. I came right in. and I sang in the choir. I was the assistant director. I directed the choir. Even now, when I leave here and go back to Dallas, there are responsibilities that have been laid on my shoulder. I have been assigned different ones in the church that I have to make sure that I'm overseeing and making sure that if there's a need that I can go back and report to the headship, to my chief apostle, to make sure that if their souls are okay, we need to fast, or if there's a need in the home. And not only that, but I also teach Bible class. I also teach Sunday school and whatever else that needs to be done. If the church needs to be clean and a text go out and it says to us that, women, it is our time to clean the church, then because I'm an apostle don't mean nothing. You know what I'm saying? If the church needs to be clean, then we get to the church and we're cleaned up. Many times I've come in with my suit and my shoes and my stockings and walked straight to the ladies' restroom or to the men's restroom, emptied the trash cans, cleaned the bathroom, got on my knees, scrubbed with Clorox and all of that stuff.
Cleaned the bathrooms and made
sure that everything was clean, because one thing about it is that we're just furniture. We're just being used. And once God uses us, we go back to what we were called to do from the beginning, and that is ministering in the house. You've got to learn how to have a servitude spirit in the house of God.
Yeah.
So whatever I'm asked to do in the kitchen, I've got in the kitchen and cook. Still do now. Get in the kitchen and cook and serve and be excited about serving. Sometimes I'm like, well, I got to put on clothes. And then I have to come from being in the kitchen to being an MC or singing a song or doing words of exhortation or whatever that you need to do. You have to learn how to have a servitude spirit. And I go back to what I said before, Pastor, we have to learn to submit ourselves under authority. You know, because when I come, just like I'm here, and I'm here in Washington, and I'm under your authority, even though I walk in the office of an apostle.
Yes.
And I don't come into your house, and I don't rule your house, and I don't tell you what you do in your house. You tells me how you want your house, and so I go in and I do as you assign me to do in your house. I don't go over what you say. I don't go under what you say, because when I come out of your house, you still the authoritator, and so I have to learn how to walk under that authority. So you are so right, Pastor. We got to have a servitude spirit.
Yes.
It's nothing wrong with you washing dishes. It's nothing wrong with you coming in, cleaning up the church. And you shouldn't have, the pastor shouldn't have to ask you to do it. You know, because you're an evangelist, I ain't doing that, because, baby, please, you don't even realize the graduation or the growth that God is getting ready to take you into, you know, how God is getting ready to exalt you. People want to be exalted. People want to prophesy, but they don't want to clean up. They don't want to clean the bathroom. They feel their hands are too precious to stick their hands down in a commode to clean it. They feel you know, I can't run the vacuum, or I can't, you know, I can't sing in the choir. I'm tired, and I can't play the drums, and oh, no, I can't be a musician today.
Yes.
I've been out, and I've been, oh, honey, please. You just aborted your ministry. Just aborted your ministry.
And that's so profound, Apostle, because what you're saying is right in the center of that scripture. It said, but it shall be not so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And what you said is just really just so profound. And it reminded me so much of when we came up in ministry, that is the same type of mindset. And one of the things, Apostle, that a lot of time we hear, and I think is relevant, but sometimes it could take us into a different place and things about our purpose, our purpose. And I think it's a good word And I think it's relevant too. But sometimes I've seen people leave their water pot and run and look for purpose instead of leaving their water pot and running and telling the testimony in the city. And so purpose can be relevant, but it can also, if it's not up under that leadership and that guidance, it can send us into another whole nother dynamic.
Chaos.
And make us walk out of purpose and walk, make us walk out of where God really have called us to, because they don't think what you just said would be relevant for me coming in and picking up that paper off that floor. But maybe perhaps pre-adventure God is looking to see. And maybe, please.
To cut you off, but not only that, I served as an armor bearer.
Yeah.
You know. I served as an armor bearer, even in the office of a bishop, traveling with my apostle before he consecrated me and ordained me as an apostle. Serving as a pastor, I served as an armor bearer.
Yeah.
I've traveled with my apostle for over 10 or 11 years, and him ministering and helping him to set up and to set up churches and things of that sort, a part of our fellowship, organization fellowship. And the thing is that I served him as an armor bearer.
Yes.
We've preached together. We've team preached together. And so whatever he asked me to do, I never mumbled, I never grumbled. Were I tired? You better believe I was tired, because, you know, the way my pastor ministered and the way he ministered in deliverance, you will be tired, but it does not matter. If he said, come on, let's go to breakfast, we went to breakfast, and we sit up at breakfast till 5 o'clock in the morning and talk. I got me a little corner, got me a little nap, woke back up, we had to go visit the sick. I had a smile on my face.
I never grumbled.
I never complained. And I still don't mumble, and I still don't complain. I mean, you know, when I go back to Dallas, you know, he'll call me, Apostle, all right, we're going to the hospital today. Yes, sir. Whatever I got planned, I cut it off, because, hey, this is what I'm under. I'm an authority. So when I go out and I minister, then God will get the full effect of what he has placed on the inside of me. And many times, you know, as laborers in the gospel, we just feel like that once we labor, that's over. Labor never stops.
That's
you are 24/7 in labor.
Yes.
You get woke up out of your sleep. Even God will wake you up and tell you, look, I need you to pray. I need you to stay on your face until I tell you to get up. That's laboring in gospel. We never stop laboring. You get what I'm saying?
That's
we
so true.
Never stop laboring. And so when I go out of town, I carry very comfortable shoes with my apostle, because I know that he's going to minister. And not only is he going to minister, we're going to see the sick, we're going to pray for the sick. And so the thing is, you have to learn to humble yourself and be submissive to leadership. And one thing I don't do, I don't talk back to my leader. I respect my leader. Not only just him, but there are other leaders that are in the house, and I respect them and I honor them. I say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I know the age that I am, and I'm older than they are. But nevertheless, I hold myself to authoritieship.
And Apostle, I remember the first day that the Lord blessed me to have an opportunity to see you and things, and that was the night of our women's conference when you walked down the aisle. And from that moment when I seen you, I knew automatically, I could see the humility and the love of God. It was just like a cloak upon you, and I could see that, and the kindred spirit of a heart towards God and God's people was very evident for me when I looked upon you and just seen the compassion and the love that you have for our Lord. It was just so evident upon your countenance. And as I said also and shared with the house, and invited even the women that are there in ministry to take a moment and have audience with you, because I felt greatly that you had something that you can impart, and which I know you have, for that impartation into the lives of many women in ministry, because as I looked upon you, God showed me that you were a woman he has chosen. And that takes me back to the scripture that we talked about or we read earlier, and verse number 16, and it said, and the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. But then it goes on to say, for many be called, but few chosen. And when I looked upon your countenance, I could see, even though I had never seen you before, I could see that you were a chosen woman of God, a woman of God that have gone through what you even spoke out of your own mouth, of that process to being qualified. You also shared with us about the process of being cleansed and purged. And things, and all of these things, I've seen them right upon you. The ability to, like the scripture say, to go in and out among them, and using that, you said something, shut mouth grace, and being able to know when to speak, when not to speak. And I've seen all these elements and these attributes upon your life, even like the scripture has said, you know, all things are lawful, but it may not be expedient in things, even though you probably seen, but you knew that it was not expedient at that time, at that time, to even, and that's where I can see from the seer and the beamer where it has on your bio and things. Because people don't realize, you know, you can be a loaded, individual, may I say it this way, an individual can be a loaded cannon.
That's true.
And or they could be a divine tool in the hand of God.
That's
true. And we must recognize that we as the women of God, as well as men of God, servants of God, and things, as we allow God to take us, like you said so graciously, through that process. That process is sometimes an ugly process.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Rabba Shandaraba. I felt something just hit my spirit there. And sometimes, is it not so, apostle, in that process, sometimes we can't even explain what we're going through. Because we don't know.
Especially when we're going through a spirit of purification.
Come on now, talk about that, please.
When you're going through that period of purification, God begins to judge your character. And he begins to judge you. He begins to allow you to look into the mirror of the Word of God. And he allows you to see the ugliness in you. You know, when other folks are saying, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, I just think you're so sweet. But then God begins to pull back and allow you to see the ugliness in you. And then you begin to cry out and you begin to say, God, purify that is on the inside of me. Because many times, Pastor, we feel that when we have been wounded, and we have been wounded in such a way that you just feel like you could just take your heart out and you could massage it and put it back in place. Many times when we're going through a spirit of purification of how God is washing us through his word, and he's washing us through his blood, and he's taking us through chasing. And the chasing is not good, but it's because we have spoke something out of our mouths, because we have put our hands on something. You know, you said something so profound on last Sunday when you ministered to us, and you were telling us at the end, you said, God said, don't go back and put your hands back on what he has delivered you out of.
Many
times what happens is that associate, I heard the Lord say associate. What calls us sometimes to put our hands on things that we shouldn't put our hands on, or to say something that we shouldn't say. And so we find ourselves going through a purification of chasing. And it seems like we become like the children of Israel. For 40 years, look like we are struggling, trying to find our way of what God is trying to tell us. And all God is saying is to submit yourself.
Yes, yes.
You submit your will to me. And once your will has been submitted to me, then I could bring forth the sanctification of what I want to place in your life, a renewing, a rediscovering, a restoration, you know, a foundation. These are things that I want to do through sanctification. And I want to do this because I brought you through purification. So now I'm taking you through sanctification.
I'm bringing you
through restoration. I'm bringing you through purification. You know, sometimes we find ourselves as like the prodigal son. And that's why we have to be so careful, because the enemy wants to take us into places that we know that God has delivered us out of.
Yes.
So what we have to do is we have to stay in that place of restoration.
Yes.
And so when we come through sanctification, we come through rejoicing. We come through reclothing. We come through reconsideration. We come through a return. We come through repentance. And then we come through restitution. And then we come to understand what God is really doing in our lives, because he brought us through purification, he's bringing us through justification, through sanctification, and now he's getting ready to take us into justification. In other words, you mine now. You are
Now, isn't that, you know, and Apostle, I think that this is so profound, because many times we, through even observation, we see sometimes some of the precious saints and those that are moving forward, even in leadership, get to a certain point, and it just seems as though that the adversary just tries to overthrow them and knock them out. But what you have just said about that process, that justification, that purification, and getting them in that place where they're justified, and he can say, well, now you're mine, and things like that, and getting you in that place, now you're ready to do what go to that next level, is in that struggle. Because sometimes if we look out of it, out of our natural eye, and things, the natural man is going to be, or we should say carnal man, is going to be speaking and things like that. Well, if you're doing this bad, you might as well go on out there in the world and things like that. Yes. And the adversary is constantly pulling on that precious soul and pulling them out. But I remember, Apostle, one of the things that the saints used to say, they would tell us all the time to stay at the altar. They will encourage us to stay around the altar, because the altar was also for the precious saints and things that
and
the prayers.
That's where the fire is. That's where the purification of.
Come on.
It's because that fire, as long as we stay at the altar, then whatever is not right, that fire will begin to burn out everything that needs to be burned out that's not like God.
Yeah.
You know, Colossians speaks about it. Paul speaks about it in the book of Colossians when he tells us in the fourth chapter that we have the fourth verse in the third chapter. He said we have to mortify the deeds of our flesh. Well, that fire comes in and it begins to kill out. It begins to destroy everything that we know that the enemy has set up in us. And so, you know, even though, you know, a lot of times people feel just because they're saved that the old man is still not there. That old man is still there. That's why we have to fast. That's why we have to continue to stay at the altar to keep that old man dead.
Yes.
As long as he's dead, then the spirit of the word of God can work through us. But when we don't allow ourselves to keep ourselves in the face of God through fasting and through praying and through staying at the altar, as you just said, Pastor.
Yes.
Excuse me. What will happen is that the old man, the old man will begin to come forth and exercise itself. You know, and, you know, many times, you know, we've been delivered from old traits and from generational curses. But if we don't keep ourselves in the fire, allow that fire to burn us and to purify us the way it needs to be and take it out of us, you know, if we don't continue in this thing, let me say it like that. Because,
yeah, please,
you know,
please.
Once you get the Holy Ghost, you know, people just think, okay, well, I don't have to speak in tongues anymore. I you know, but Jude tells us, Jude 1:20 says, building up your faith in praying in the Holy Ghost. But what the saints don't understand is that tongue helps to keep you in purification with God. Because the more you pray in your prayer language, the more God can come in and take out whatever needs to be taken out. You see what I'm saying? So it's very important that we stay at the altar so that the prayer language that God has given us, the tongues of fire, the tongues of intercessory, can come forth out of us and begin to bring forth the purification that God wants to put back in us so that we can be sanctified and then we can become totally His.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing right now. It's like you said, we got to stay at the altar, woman of God.
We do.
24/7, not just when we come to prayer meeting, but even we have to have an altar in our mindset. When you're at your computer.
Yes, yes, yes.
You got to have an altar in your mindset. When you're washing your dishes, you got to have an altar in your mindset. When you're sitting there communicating with your husband and your children, that altar has to still be in your mindset.
Now
it
that's
to be
profound.
In your mindset.
Yes,
it has
yes.
To. That altar has to, it just can't be when I come to prayer and we do it collectively, you know. No, it's got to be there. It has to already be there before I get to the house of God. So when I get to the house of God and we come into a corporate prayer, then God can move in directions of where the angels need to move to be able to get the job done in the house of God.
Yes. And I believe that, you know, Apostle Lewis, that right there, what you had elaborated on, was just very profound. The altar in my mindset, that in itself, I believe if we can master that our mind. And master that in the pulpit, outside the pulpit, when we're serving, when we're not serving. That was just so profound and just so revelatory, what you just said, and things, because we have to come to that point, because we recognize that even the devil have the scripture, know the scripture.
Come on now.
It's going to take a man or a woman or a child to be able to cultivate an altar in my mindset. Now,
that
was just so profound and things to be able, and that seemed like what you have been speaking to us today has summed up to be that, because in that I can see the humility. I can see the attributes that I had seen upon you, the consecrated mind, the prayerfulness, the submissiveness, and the humility, and being subject to leadership, and being able to go in and out among the people of God. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord when you just said that's what you have cultivated in your life, was an altar in your mindset. And you said something earlier in our show today, is that you said that sometimes people think, well, I got the word just like she do, or I can read my Bible too, but until I can go to the altar back in my mind and send it back through the altar of my mind to really to get gain a better view of what is the mind of the Spirit. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord, because I was going to ask you the question, and I believe God has brought it out so profoundly about how do we grab a hold to the mind of the Spirit. Now, we have our own mind, but you said it right there, when you can cultivate an altar in your mind, that's going to give us, as the children of God, whether we, whatever capacity or gifting that God has given to us as in the body of Christ, if that we can cultivate that altar, which is going to take us to the mind of the Spirit and as well as the eye of the Spirit.
That's it.
Then, and that's where the process is trying
that's
to get
it.
Us to. Is that not so?
That's it. And may I say this also,
please,
Pastor, because
please.
The Lord has laid this on my heart.
Please.
There are many women that, as well as men, that are married in ministry.
Please.
And you have to understand that your first ministry is your wife or your husband.
Yes.
And then it's your children, and then it's your ministry. And many times, you know, we make mistakes.
Please.
Because we say God has called us, and so therefore, you know, God called me, and so I've got to go do this, and I've got to do this. But if your home is not set in the radiance of the Spirit of God,
yes.
being the headship of your home, then your ministry will start off running, but it'll stop.
Yes,
because
please.
One thing about God has always organized family. It has always been organized, husband and wife. And so your first ministry, women, are to your husband. That is to minister to him and to minister to his needs and to minister to his desire, as well as to your children. And then you are to go and minister to wherever God has for you to go. Because when you do it like that, then everything that you begin to minister, that God uses you as a tool to minister, you will see how God will excel you and it bless you like never before. This
Not
is something that I learned when I was coming up under the old mothers. They taught
yes.
us that our first ministry was to our home. It was to our husband, to our children, and then it was to the call that God had called us to. And when we do that, we will find that doors will be open for us like never, never before. And sometimes we run ahead of God. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, I've got to do this. I was called by God. I was chosen by God. And so I've got to do what God say do. Yes, you do. But if you are a wife or a husband, you have to realize that that wife comes first, that husband comes first, children comes next, and then the call of God comes. And when you do it in that order, you will see how God will bless you. Now, to the single ones, you are dedicated to God. So you have time to pray. You got time to fast. You got time to balance whatever you need to balance.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? That's
yes,
not to
yes.
you. The only thing I say to you is that if you are under authorityship, a pastorship, then you are to respect your leader. Make sure that your leader know where you're going and when you are coming back so that their prayers will follow you. Because one thing about it, you don't understand. I don't care how long you've been in ministry, but you need the prayers of the leaders to go with you and over you, because there are demons that are coming up out of the hell now that are manifesting themselves that you have not even came in contact with. And you've got to have those prayers there to cover you so that when you come in contact with the demons of hell, you will have those prayers over you to the point that you are protected, not just through the blood, but through the prayers of those that you are under authoritative with. So I just wanted to share that, Pastor.
No, Apostle.
Somebody. I
yes.
hope that it did. I really do. I hope that it blessed someone.
And that is, I believe, and as we get ready to wrap up, I believe what you have said has been very empowering and very enlightening and illuminating our hearts and our mind when it comes to ministry and laboring in the vineyard. And to close out on such a note as this is just so profound because we must be able to be effective about the things that we do in the vineyard, because the adversary understands how that we could be doing things and we will be ineffective. But being able to come, as you have shared with us, up under authority, making sure things are in order, both at home and in the church and even abroad, how we should carry ourselves as representative of our Lord and Savior. This has been a tremendous blessing. I remember even in our closing that precious mother, Mother Wilson, she would say often, she said, "Don't be seen, don't serve to be seen, but be seen serving." She said, "Be seen serving." And I thought that was so profound and apostle. I want to say that I appreciate you for sharing your time with us on today. And even the words that you had said on today, I have to give an attest to that those are the words that you live.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much.
I've seen it myself as a witness.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for what he has done and what he is continuously doing in my life. Thank you so much, Pastor. I feel so honored to be with you. I just feel so elated. I'm like a kid that's got a first candy.
Yeah, well, we want you to know that we appreciate you and appreciate your time being with us and all that God is doing in and through your life. And I know that this will not be our last time, but we will be getting together again and doing more time together and things. But I just want to let the radio land know that we appreciate you for taking the time out to being with us on today. And as Dr. Arm will always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find, and knock, and the door shall be open unto you. And so on that note, I'm going to ask as Apostle Lewis, if you would just like to close us out in prayer, and we want to again say we thank God for you. I want to also just to say that you're going to be speaking in a couple of days for us on the 29th through the 31st there, running a revival as we close out the year. But this woman of God, I tell you, Radio Land, this woman of God is a profound woman of God, that God is using her in a profound way. And I tell you, you will be tremendously blessed. So we want to invite you to come out and be with us and share in on the revival and what God is doing in and through her life. She is a gift to the body of Christ, and we thank God for her. And so at this time, we're just going to put you back into the hand of Apostle Lewis, and if there's anything she would like to say in closing, we're just going to allow her to have that moment to close us out, and whatever God is laying upon the heart to share with us, we want to hear that, and then we're going to have her just to pray and things and close us out. So at this time, Apostle Lewis, please.
God bless you, Radio Land. I just wanted to say in closing to you is remember that you are laborers, and laborers are workers. And remember that we never go to sleep. A laborer never goes to sleep. It's always on watch call. It's always on watch time. Timing is very important in this hour. So remember that you've got to be in God's timing in this order, because if you miss your timing, you're going to miss the place of where God is getting ready to take you. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for our coming together and our gathering today on Radio Land. We bless you right now, God, for this awesome woman of God that has blessed us to be able to come and share the word of God with the radio audience on today. Father, we ask you if there's any sick, if there's anyone that is feeble-minded, if there's anyone, God, that needs to be encouraged today, we pray that the word of God has encouraged, has enlightened, has caused their minds to be open and bring them clarity, God, of understanding what you have called and chosen us to do in such a time as this. And, Lord, we thank you right now that those who have dedicated themselves and given themselves over to be laborers in the vineyard, we pray that you will continue to encourage them and that you will continue to be with them and that you will dispatch your angels to protect them and watch over them and their families in the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise and we give you the glory for what you're getting ready to do, for what you've already done, and we wish each and every one in Radio Land a happy and a Merry Christmas and happy holidays. God bless you, and we love you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Apostle Lewis. And we want to say in closing, if you thrown in that towel, I encourage you to go back and get it, and to go back and to get up and go back down in prayer and watch God move on your behalf. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you until we meet again is my prayer. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.